On this week's show, Scheduling Innovation with Alex Belkoffer and Ross Helberg from McCarthy Building Companies. We're back. I got a new face on here. I'm going to get to the guy who's smiling way more than he should be in a minute. Ross, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Jeff. I'm doing well. Great to be here, man.
It's nice. You know, Alex finally brought somebody with him that I can talk to because, you know, we're all getting... No, I'm just kidding. But he is smiling, and we got to give him a little credit. The monkey is off the back. The Buckeyes shook the monkey off the back this weekend. How good are you feeling, Alex?
Pretty amazing. Yep. Order has been restored in the universe, as Buckeye Nation is saying. So pretty happy.
I know quite a few of my Buckeye Nation friends out there who are... You know, probably still a little tired from their weekend and can't get enough of it. But, you know, it's back. You know, all is right. We'll see how we do. And, you know, the CFP here as we get there with all 12 teams and have a little bit of fun. Maybe we'll have you back and talk about it and see what happens. But you guys, we're going to jump into the show. Before we do, you guys know, check us out on youtube.com/@thecontectcrew. Follow us on social. Make sure you connect with these guests and make sure you drop me a line once in a while. Are you trying to reach the innovators and decision makers in construction technology? Then look no further than sponsoring the Contech Crew. That's right, we're taking new advertisers. Email us at advertising@thecontechcrew.com to learn more. All right, so we're going to start with Ross since he's new to the show. Ross, give everybody a little background, how you got here, what you're passionate about.
So again, yeah, Ross Helberg, been with McCarthy for 14 years now. Born and raised in Nebraska, so fellow Big Ten fan and advocate. So it's good to see the Buckeyes. Credit where credit's due. You know, they've had a great year. My Huskers will get back there eventually, you know, fingers crossed. But so yeah, 14 years in the industry for me, all 14 with McCarthy. I started my career actually Arizona office or our Phoenix office. You know, I started initially in the field, new hire, project engineer. I always joke a little bit that scheduling kind of picked me. I never thought that that was going to be my career path, but an opportunity kind of came up as I was hired on as a new engineer, was just newly engaged at the time. I had made a pretty big move from Nebraska, Arizona, and kind of opportunity arose and said, hey, yeah, I'll go try that. I think that'll be really good experience for me. I think that'll really translate well into the field and whatever else I want to do in the organization. And then I never left. I really enjoyed it. I got to work on a lot of different jobs. I got to travel all throughout the Southwest, got to do, you know, vertical buildings, healthcare, wastewater, a little bit of renewables, some really, really cool projects, and loved it. I had an opportunity then come that arose. And I actually then from Phoenix relocated to beautiful West Texas, where I spent about 4.5 years on site on a job that has some challenges. And so again, kind of a unique role where a lot of our scheduling resources are on site all the time. So got to be on site for a while there, learned a ton, had a really good experience ultimately, which led me to St. Louis and had the opportunity to then lead our scheduling department for our central region in St. Louis, where I got to meet Mr. Belkoffer. And him and I, from that point, have fostered a great relationship and tying in, you know, all things planning and scheduling and technology woven into that.
Well, that is a cool run through of how we love the field connected to the office, connected to the field. And I am going to come back and ask you a little bit about some of those experiences along the way, because I think what you guys are doing there is a little unique. And I think it leans to why McCarthy, especially, you know, grows folks like you and why you feel like you can grow in your career in that kind of method. But before we do, we got to let Alex say hello.
Hello. Good to see you, everybody. Thanks, Jeff, for having us back on again. Always a pleasure to be with the Contech crew.
Well, if you guys don't know Alex, you haven't been listening. So if you want to catch back up, we had Alex on live from the AGC national event on May 13th, if you want to go back and look at that one. And then real-time clash automation about 4 years ago, if you want to go really far back. So Alex has been a longtime guest, but let people know what you do over there at McCarthy these days.
Sure thing. Yep. So currently I'm our senior director of virtual design and construction. I live and sit in St. Louis, Missouri, part of our central region, but also help lead VDC with our national core leadership team with the other VDC directors. And we do a lot of work cross-connecting the dots between our pre-construction and design phase services, our operations phase services, self-perform phase services, just making sure VDC is doing its part to bridge the gap between the office and the field.
It's well put. And this is where I want to go back to that office to the field. Ross, it's rare that we hear about a scheduler, at least that I hear about it. I think it's probably more common than I think, but of a scheduler being on site and needing to be on site. What makes that, why does that happen, and what's that process sort of like?
Yeah, no, great question, Jeff. A lot of what drives that is the size and the complexity of the job. Kind of when you get to that threshold of whether it be a contract value or whether it be like a size of team or the needs of a client, that is what will drive that. So we're unique in some of the markets that we operate in, of where we will have some of our mega jobs that will have maybe 2 to 3 to 4 schedulers on site full time. So I always encourage like anyone throughout our group to do that and to take that opportunity, because again, to be close to the work, to be in the field, that's where you're going to learn. That's where you're going to learn to be a great builder and see how things get done. And so anytime that that opportunity arises in our ranks, I try and tell everyone to lean into that, because it's a great experience, but it is unique. It's not a lot of other organizations and firms maybe have that structure, but what will drive that again is the complexity of the job.
And who are you interacting with while you're there? Like I love the getting close to the work and understanding how the work is done, but you know, there's obviously, I think, probably a purpose of getting closer and shortening that loop. But who are you really working with in that process?
Our closest partners that we work with is our field ops partners, our superintendents. They are our builders. They are the ones that are, you know, the vision of how this thing is going to get built. We want to partner as close as we can with them so that we can represent the plan. My analogy that I use is we're kind of like the GPS, right? We know the destination. We're going to plug it in. The schedule is going to be the math tool that kind of tells us when and how we're going to get there. And we're going to translate those directions back to our superintendents to tell them when to take a left, when to take a right. And hey, do we see some roadblocks coming down the road? Is there some things that you need to be aware of? So our closest relationship is absolutely our field ops, our superintendents. Not that we don't work really close with our managers as well, but again, our key stakeholders are going to be our superintendents.
Yeah, I think that's great because you're really close to the work in that. And I imagine they're coming in and, you know, because you're working on that GPS, they can say, listen, I see an accident ahead that maybe nobody's seen yet. What do we do? And can give you that rapid feedback as well, right?
Absolutely, right. So that's exactly what we want. We want to know in real time or as close to real time when we see issues. Be able to forecast that, forecast risk, forecast solutions, you know, okay, how do we need to overcome that? So the better that relationship is, the closer that relationship can be, again, the better outcome that we're going to have.
Yeah. And we've been talking about this for years, Alex, right? Like it's time to decision-making. It's being close. It's McCarthy saying, hey, look, we plan really well. We, you know, we do our VDC, we do our design reviews, we do our constructability, we do that. But you know, projects happen in real life. Things happen, material issues, unforeseen, you know, groundwork issues, whatever it might be. And instead of saying, well, we're just gonna, you know, use the fluff that we built into the schedule, we're gonna get close to it and we're gonna solve the problems. I think that's unique at McCarthy. And I think it's something I've seen from you over the years, Alex.
We've talked a lot about bridging the gap between the office and the field, but bridging the gap between the different providers or the different roles in McCarthy. And that's really where Ross and I, years back now, really forged a strong alliance and a commitment to connecting the dots in a tighter way between VDC practitioners and planning and scheduling practitioners. And where we decided to focus a lot on was the idea, the concept, and the practice of visual planning. The planning and scheduling group does what they do and a lot of tools that they use and methods. VDC does the same in the way that we work. But how do we strengthen that and do more of that together so that what our groups are bringing to bear as a collective is getting more of the project team to find value in and using our methods and our tools in unison so that we're not doing things separately in different silos, whether it's in a process silo or a tool-based silo or a reporting function. It's more about how do we strengthen that connection to get more of the team to embody and use the methods that Ross and I's team are trying to embody and instill in that project team so they get really strong value along the way. And at the end of the day, I've got all the tools and the process capabilities at their disposal to block and tackle the risk and to ensure that we're driving towards, you know, great results.
Break that down a little bit. What, because that's, you know, that's why we wanted to have you guys here. Like I had a chance to, transparency, had a chance to be with both of you in Denver recently. And we started having this conversation about the future and about the way things were going. And you started to talk about how you two met a while back and decided that, hey, I think we need to get more and more tightly coupled together. So what is that? What does that look like? And what was that like in the beginning? Maybe to kind of, that's a unique, hey, we want to break silos down. We want to actually work together when usually these are disciplines, much like, you know, it's a pre-con discipline in many respects in the beginning, then it is a functional construction discipline, right? It balances, but we used to chuck and rally, you know, chuck it over. What was the impetus to that relationship? How'd you guys start this process of saying like, hey, we probably should work together?
Yeah. Well, when Ross and I first got together in St. Louis, as I was entering the business, as he was transitioning from that project down in our southern region back to central and taking on the role of the scheduling leader, we just had, you know, that first discussion talking about just our backgrounds, understanding what we were trying to accomplish. And I think we quickly realized that there was a lot more value to be had in connecting the dots between planning and scheduling in VDC. And it wasn't really readily apparent or obvious to others, but it was starting to become very apparent to us that if we can start to help our project teams visualize more with the tools that we use, the methods that we're trying to implore on projects, what greater value could be had? And so we just started there. And I took the concept and helping Ross understand what we were trying to become, which was this collective of integrated virtual builders, or what we call IVB at McCarthy. We've talked about it, I think, before on a couple of the other podcasts. But if we're trying to embody being these virtual builders, and we need to focus on our field teams embodying and being that virtual builder along with VDC, how does then planning and scheduling couple to being that really strong virtual builder? And visual planning is what him and I both kind of targeted to say, well, if we're doing really good at building models and the model is going to be the genesis for how we go and execute our work in the field, that model is going to be essentially that replica of what should be happening in real world conditions, then how does visual planning support getting that highly collaborative, highly developed, really refined model to life at the point of attack? And no matter where that point of attack might be, whether it's on the job or it's remotely in different offices and different areas of our business. So we targeted visual planning and looking at how we visually plan things from a 2D aspect, 3D aspect, 4D aspect, 5D, and so on and so forth. And we started to chip away at that as we've kind of gone down this journey together to where we are today.
So Ross, talk to me about how that kind of opened up to you and what your perspective on it was. Because I know, you know, that VDC model driven, let's use this more, let's visualize. But, you know, you got a set of tools and techniques and things you guys use to schedule really well. So how did that work for you coming together?
I think for me, it really was the convergence too of planning and scheduling and putting those two things a little bit more together. Apparently, I think in the past, it'd been maybe viewed separately of where, hey, operations teams, you're in charge of planning. Oh, scheduling team, you're just in charge of scheduling. And the only tool really in our toolbox was P6, was the scheduling software. We didn't lean into some of the other planning platforms that we needed to. So being able to speak each other's language and get embedded to with our VDC partners and understand the tools, the technology, how things work, that made us better planners, which ultimately led us to scheduling better, to talking to our teams better, to be able to look and forecast risk and add value in maybe a different way. Because again, we're technical experts in CPM. We understand the legal aspect of it. We understand a lot of the really good principles and practices in CPM. But how do we broaden that? How do we take that a little bit further and open our toolkit up more to add more value to our team? So for me, it was a natural partnership of like, hey, we got to lean in this together. And if you can speak our language a little bit better and we can speak your language a little bit better, like, that's just ultimately going to make our teams better, are going to have our outcomes be a lot better. And we're going to be able to provide better service, better deliverables, all of those things to our team. So it was a natural collaboration and was really fun as we started to explore some of these new depths, if you will, of how we've traditionally delivered work to what we can do and some of the like capabilities that we brought to our teams, which I think in again, has been received really, really well with us being able to really like move the needle. And so it's been fun. Yeah. Our groups meet, you know, once a month, we collaborate and we're continually exploring of like, okay, let's keep moving the bar a little bit higher. Like, what else can we do? What are the unique things that are not being done? What are some of the areas and pain points that the business is feeling that we can solve with technology, or that we can solve with understanding how these processes are really are woven together? So it's been a fun partnership. Yeah, we're continuing to grow it. As we learn
more. I love to see the once a month meetings, the speaking each other's language. I mean, that's like half the world. People don't understand the reason behind some of the struggles with technology and construction are that not only are we working, you know, as separate entities in many, you know, you've got owners, you've got architects, you've got GCs, you've got trades, you got even your own self-performed teams sometimes are very separate from your own integrated teams. So, and we're all highly technical in our own world. So like, speaking those languages and providing tool sets that work for them is difficult. First step, right, is understanding each other. But I know people listening, can you give, or either of you give, because I know this is an on-the-spot one, but like an example of where this integration between the two teams has paid off in a project? You don't have to name the project, but, you know, where has it really paid off? Where have you seen the dividends?
Great question. I'm trying to think. There's been a lot of successes. I can start, Alex, and then feel free to pile on. I'll take it back to one of our first projects that kind of we tackled, where we had a very open-minded team. They were progressive. They wanted to kind of do some things different. They really leaned into tech planning, leaned into some of the call it newer concepts out in the industry, which again made a lot of people maybe uncomfortable of like, hold on a second, are we going to do things differently? But that's not how we've done things for a long, long time. And so we really leaned in that together of like, okay, let's take a methodical approach about why we want to do this, how we want to set this up. We were very, very, very successful with that. Alex too, from his group, leaned into that as well. And some of the visual planning that this team delivered, was some of the best visual planning that I've seen, that then kind of sparked into, you know, really growing a little bit of a movement here in our central region. And so that again included some awesome elements of visual planning that included some 4D scheduling and sequencing. And then really kind of for us started to unpack the possibilities of work packaging and how do we get to our area of phasing and sequencing and flow of how we want to move through spaces, and how can we do that as early as possible? Even if we don't have detailed design, we don't have drawings, we might have a concept, we might have, you know, some things digitally, but how is the team able to kind of figure out the sequencing and how they want to construct the project as early as possible, so that we can have a stable plan? So first example that jumps into my head, and Alex and I, you know, again, I think we've developed some great relationships with that project team that have moved on into other roles and are doing some other things for our region. It's really kind of fostered a great movement. And I think also enabled a lot of trust in both of us to know that, hey, we can do some things differently. And we can kind of go against the grain. And here's the benefit that we've seen of how we're able to deliver this project. And it had an awesome outcome.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit a few things. I'll let Alex jump in here. But you hit a few things that, you know, first, open-minded team, right? Core to it all. Doesn't really matter if the team's not ready for it, you know. So finding that open-minded team. And then I love the fact that they finished what they were up to and broke up and went other places. That spreads the love. You know, they go out there and they become your like, hey, wait. No. Like, hey, Ross isn't full of it, man. Like, I did this on a job with him and it was like, it really went well. And I love the fact that you're, you know, tech planning and you're looking at sequencing and work packaging and really getting to flow. Like, one of the big problems of our world is that we stop and start too much, right? We don't get into a flow of building. And, you know, that leads to all those crazy statistics you see on like 30% of time spent on tools, et cetera. It's like, we need people working, not doing paperwork or meetings. So Alex, take it where, you know, that picks up for you.
Yeah. So to bridge off of that, you know, when Ross and I found that first project as an opportunity to what I would call moving away from traditional planning and traditional model-based approaches to more of what I would call an advanced level of model integration connected to visual planning, connected to our traditional scheduling methodologies. I really feel like that team, when they went off and moved on to their next thing, they influenced, right? That next team, right? Whether it was the superintendents, the pre-con managers, the project managers. And I think we started to see more adoption because that job socialized their success, right? And, you know, you kind of create a little bit of that FOMO, Jeff, that you and I talk about, right? You know, project teams want to leverage what has been successful in other places, right? And so when word spreads, people want some of that, right? And so, you know, I think we took a big step forward in getting the myth dispelled that doing things like 4D planning and scheduling, or Hollywood BIM, as it was referred to back in the day, can actually be a real thing. I mean, moving away from Hollywood BIM and moving into this era of 4D integrated planning is really what Ross and I were trying to instill and embody with our teams. So from that one job, two other jobs gave what Ross and I did with that job a try. And then a couple other ones did. And now we're in a place in our central region where 4D visual planning and logistics is starting to become really the benchmark for how teams are leveraging the model effectively and planning work in the field effectively and mitigating our risk. And it's now becoming really common practice, and it's starting to spread, you know, more and more across our national footprint and our business units. And so I've seen this with some of our other GC peers too, where, you know, some of them have struggled with 4D planning and logistics over the course of time because some operating groups don't believe in it. Some only see selective value in certain places. Some of them are, you know, using it to get jobs in position to be won, but then it doesn't get maintained and the project team doesn't see the value long term. So we've worked really hard to keep those things at the forefront and embedded in the workflow now, and really have become ingrained in just how we do things, right? We're not just planning jobs in 2D. We live in a 3D world. So why would you not add the element of time to that equation, use these amazing digital tools that we have, you know, in our portfolio, and plan to work from a 4D standpoint with the people influencing the work, planning it, boots on the ground, connecting the dots between pre-con and operations. And that's where I think Ross and I have achieved a lot of success, because our superintendents believe in it, our project managers believe in it, pre-con managers believe in it. And ultimately, if those three core personas of what we do that are ultimately responsible for planning the work and executing it believe in it so strongly, then it just becomes the way we do business.
That's the key, is you've hit the tipping point of making it core to your business. But you also hit on something that I think has really caused a huge issue in construction technology over time. And this is, you know, kind of been our new practice here at the show, is like, let's call out the things that we did wrong. Hollywood BIM, as you referred to it, was a tough one for everybody, but we needed a little bit of Hollywood BIM to like get people like, that looks interesting. At least, like, you know, first time you saw and drew a model, you're like, that's pretty cool. Like, okay, cool's cool, but cool's not a business plan, right? But then really doing 4D and doing all that planning to win work and then just leaving it on the table, that is one of the most, because if you look back, like, what did it really do? And it cost a ton of money. That stuff is not cheap to do, guys. Like, your time's expensive. The tools themselves are expensive. That process is expensive. You go win the work and then you just leave it on the table. And eventually too, it creates this distrust, right? They start and they're like, oh, we could trust this thing. And then, you know, to Ross's point on being on these big projects on site, 2-3 schedulers, dealing with the feedback and changing, I'm sure there's a VDC team involved in changing the models as we learn things and updating things. If you're not doing that, you just, you know, they start to distrust. And the worst thing we can have in a superintendent's, you know, mind is that I don't really trust what I'm looking at. And by the way, you survey them and you find out that like less than 20% on a global, you know, in the US really trust that data, right? They just don't trust it. And that's hugely impactful to creating resistance, right? So you guys have really taken it from where it is to where it needs to be. Now, I'm going to ask a specific question because we keep hearing this. I'm hoping to still a myth, but I don't know because we didn't prep this one. So Ross, you talked about classic CPM scheduling, but you also talked about using TACT. You're using the two in combination, right?
We have tried to, how do I want to say this? Really embed a few different philosophies into a system of how we deliver work. So like, again, I'm big on systems thinking and flow and really value of where the value is. And at the end of the day, what we do is building, right? So how do we get that down to the lowest level? how do we take our information down to the lowest level so it impacts who is building and how we're able to build things? And so again, what we've done with that is we bridged in tack planning, last planner, pull planning, different things that have been out in the industry in different formats and variations that you've seen out there. We've tried to embed that into what we have called our production system, which really takes higher level planning down to the lowest level of detailed planning and how those things work. So again, how they work in a system and how the feedback loops and kind of inform each other as you go down in planning. So that does include CPM scheduling, right? Because that, back to my GPS analogy, that's our GPS. That's our math tool, right? That's going to be our predictive tool. But again, I also know, I'm not naive to think that when you're on a big mega job that has 20, 30,000 schedule activities, that's going to be the best communication tool to the field, right? You're going to have to wheel that thing around on a cart on the job site, right? So like, that is not the best thing that's going to be in the hands of our builders. And so that's where, again, how do you patch in the visual planning? How do you patch in those deliverables that when they get out to the field, that they're going to be useful, they're going to be the right information, to your point, Jeff, be trusted information, and no one's going to look at that and go, I don't know if that's right. Okay, I'm not going to follow that. I'm going to go do what I think is best, which is not going to be what we want to have happen. So yes, we've tried to kind of learn from everything that's out there, kind of, you know, internalize what we think that works for us and how that works for us, put that into a system. And so we don't, we have our production philosophy that kind of bridges the gap between a lot of those things that are out in the industry. And we do have some jobs that are exclusively using most of the tack planning, you know, framework and philosophy. But then we have others that are using a ton of good principles related to those things, is what we want. So it's like, how do you extract the essence and the value out of those things? And how do you put that in the right format so it's going to inform our builders of what they need to do, what they need to be doing?
I love the integrated virtual delivery, or what is it? What do we call it there, Alex? The integrated virtual planning. You call that innovative, but yeah, integrated virtual builder, right? And now you got the integrated virtual planner. You're not indoctrinating people. This is what we're trying to teach people, is in our world right now, like it or not, people think in absolutes. Absolutes don't work. And it's really unique to hear it in your voice, Ross, because you talk about a production planning system. You never once in there said, like, this is our framework. This is our absolutes. This is how we deliver jobs, and we understand the needs of our teams, the needs of our projects. And you've created a framework around a set of tools, a set of philosophies. You're not just saying, like, hey, wing it and go grab whatever it is. You're saying, hey, tack seems to work in these. And by the way, you probably have like a history of, hey, listen, on these healthcare projects, on these mega projects, this tack planning with 20,000 things going on really boils down to helping this team out. And I'm guessing on some of them. And hey, this like pull planning on these is like, hey, it's smaller work packages. It's easier. Like, we're going to do it that way, at least in our history. And then the team can go, yeah, like, that's the one we like. Like, you're encouraging them, you're giving them bumpers on the bowling analogy that I give. I take my daughter bowling. I don't put up the bumpers. We don't hit any pins. I have a few too many drinks and we all leave upset. You put the bumpers up. She hits a bunch of pins. We win. Dad has a good time. She has a good time, right? The team gets the wins. And eventually, you're probably seeing that you could pull the bumpers off and they come to you and they're like, hey, this is this kind of project. We want to kind of do it this way. What do you think? And you're like, I got the tools for you.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. You know, our analogy, structure creates freedom. You need a little structure to have that freedom to understand what suits you, what's the right fit, because not all projects are created equal in size and complexity. And so you have to kind of, you know, right size the process depending on the team size, depending on different dynamics. And so it is, what are those set of principles though that are universal that you need to take from project to project to know, hey, are you solving for X, or how are you intending to solve for X? And if you have a good way of doing that, absolutely, let's keep doing that. If you don't have a great way, well, hey, yeah, here's some tools, or here's some ways that it has been done. Don't recreate the wheel or think that you don't have to do something. So absolutely, how do you provide that structure, give the teams a little bit of freedom to pick what works best for them and their situation. That again is within those bumper rails, is in those guide rails.
I love that. Structure creates freedom. I'm going to steal that one for sure, man. I like that. It's probably quicker and easier than my bowling analogy that everybody who listens has heard way too many times.
That's great.
But
that's a great
structure creates freedom. So that structure for Ross, Alex, how is that creating freedom for the VDC team? How is that impacting what the VDC team's capable of doing?
Well, by Ross's group embodying, you know, a more intentional approach, and VDC has been crafting our intentional approach for a number of years now, we start to create the opportunity and the visibility for our project teams to understand that what we're doing needs to be tightly coupled together to receive maximum value. So instead of creating a separate scheduling kickoff meeting, separate from a project VDC kickoff meeting, separate from all the other kickoff meetings that are happening, we get our groups together early and talk about those cross connection value opportunities. Like, hey, you know, if we want to do, you know, visual planning and logistics on this job, we want to do it in 4D, probably makes a lot of sense for VDC and planning and scheduling to sit with the superintendent and the pre-con manager and talk about what does that mean to them? What's the potential value? How do we want to go about doing that between the tools, you know, the types of check-ins and the way we're going to review those deliverables together? Who is going to have absolute ownership of those things as the project progresses? Does it transition? And, you know, does it get, you know, move from maybe one group to another? So that, you know, we don't get down the path and we got CPM doing their thing and model coordination doing their thing. And then someone shows up later and says, well, my last job, I did 4D planning and logistics. Where's that model at? How come I don't have it yet? So we're trying to get those conversations moved up front. Ross and I have collected all the success stories and all the case studies and the lessons learned on how to do it right. You know, where do we have some slips, trips, and falls? And just bringing that to those early kickoff conversations so that we don't lose the opportunities and lose the potential value as we move down the chain.
Okay. And fully agree with it. Totally understand it. Now, what I have heard, and this is, I'm interested because that time with the superintendent, that time with the PM, we don't have a ton of them. How are you getting them to give you that time? And maybe as an organization, give you that time, because it is seen on a lot of people's world as a P&L issue and like, hey, I'm sorry, but I need them out working. And this is not work. I disagree with that, but I want that to get to you and say, like, how do you get that time to say, listen, this has value? I know you got the case studies and whatnot, but what was that process like?
I can start with that. I think first and foremost, it's about relationships. And so having the relationships will allow for time, you know, will allow for us to like, hey, I want to spend some time with you. Like, okay, yeah, I'll carve it out and allow us to kind of to do that. Where people will want to give you their time, even if they are really busy and they're in the heat of the last stage of the project or whatever it might be. But the second thing too, our leadership is really committed to trying to pull those individuals, those key individuals forward in the life cycle. They recognize that. And I think they recognize that also too, if we start out and we plan things really well, we're going to have a smoother completion to construction that will allow some of those key individuals to unplug maybe a little uncomfortably early because the job is going to finish really well. It's not going to be crash landing, right? It's not going to be trying to really race the finish line and get done. It's like, it's going to get done exactly when and how we thought and said it was going to get done because that's how we had to replan it really, really well. So we can take these people out forward so that they can start early on their next job. And so our leadership has really recognize that, which I think is awesome and healthy, because that is value, right? Of where it can be very tempting to say, no, I don't want to pull this person out because they need to be on site and do an XYZ. And like, we can let that go a little bit longer, but like not planning is way more detrimental than pulling that person out a little bit early. So we're very fortunate that our organization has took a good look in the mirror and said, hey, we need to figure out and be committed to doing that and the buy-in from our leadership to try and do that. We don't always do it perfect every time, but just the recognition that we need to, I think, is awesome.
You nailed it because you're getting both ends of it right now. You're seeing that early planning and this integration of the planning and the scheduling and the VDC and the operations team and the field team doing the work has led to a better outcome. Not so much chaos. Well, when there's not so much chaos, which is what normally was keeping a PM or a super from coming in and working on the next project, if there's less of that, they have room for that to come in. But it is a commitment too. And I've seen this consistently across McCarthy over time. And it's been sort of a, I'd say a light pole for me looking at, like, the more and more we do up front, the more we bring teams together, the more we bring in constructability, the more we bring in that field team that knows what happens, the more relationships we create from beginning to end, the better our outcomes, and the more we're allowed to keep doing it. And so it's this self-fulfilling prophecy that you guys have created that I think, you know, and you're working on your digital tool sets to go with it too. I think that's also really cool is, you never started with saying that. You weren't like, oh, so we went and found the greatest tack planning tool on the planet and we gave it to everybody and said, tack plan. No, you were like, hey, we brought in the philosophy of tack planning and we worked on processes for doing it. And you know, we worked on the relationship. So I think it's core, right? You hit a few core things. It's all about people. It's all about process. And really, you know, technology is there, but it's innovation because innovation is a process change, right? It's a coupling of two teams. So, Alex, how are we going to take this? You know me, right? Like, I have been trying to push this out into the world. How are we going to take this into other places and get other people on board? Because this is the thing that McCarthy suffers from, right? Any innovator suffers from this. So this is not some knock on McCarthy. Is you do it your way, and I'm saying, hey, this is all the things we have to do up front. And you got another builder who's like, ah, we'll just do it our old way. Don't worry about it. It'll cost you this much. How do we stop that? Because ultimately, like in the end, we don't do a really good job of doing like a total cost of what the project cost in the end. And most of those, oh, we'll do it the old way. And with a whole bunch of change orders that, you know, change the outcome. You know, the bid looked great. That change order and closeout process and litigation didn't look so great. So how do we brand this out to people to get this movement beyond the McCarthy walls?
Well, you know that I'm a big, you know, industry evangelist like you are with respect to how we, you know, level up and plant that flag at the next level for, you know, what I would call a digital delivery in let's just say North America, right? Like we really do as an industry need to take a big leap forward from just building off of 2D contract documents to actually using models and using digital tools to drive better outcomes. We've got years of metrics, years of success as an industry in various ways. But it just feels like we're struggling as let's call it a community to level up. And I really feel like, you know, while we can continue to share metrics and success stories, I still feel like there needs to be some organizations that come together that say, if you are doing digital delivery the right way or the way the industry should be in North America, let's say, this is what it looks like. Here is the framework. Here is the benchmark for like minimum delivery. And that's something that I am working on with the National Institute of Building Sciences, one of the organizations that, Jeff, you know, that I support and I'm a big advocate for. I think it's groups like that that have to help the industry realize what does that leveling up look like. If we believe so strongly in using building information modeling and using models to deliver work, then what are the other value points or supporting mechanisms that need to bridge off of that, right? 4D would be one of those things. Reality capture is one of those things. And we've been doing it for years, but like, what does that level up look like? If a framework exists for what I would call digital delivery, and that's bridging the gap between pre-con, VDC, operations, planning, and scheduling, let's just say quality, safety, and every other functional department that most of our companies employ and deploy on jobs, then the industry needs that framework. To me, there's not like secret sauce in that. That's just reality. That's facts of like, what are we seeing value in over the course of time? Let's just say the better part of the last 20 years. And let's let the industry mature and take that confident step that we should be doing these things as our benchmark now going forward.
I agree with you there. And I love groups like NIBS that are really, you know, pushing that boundary forward. And I love the idea of a framework. And, you know, you can kind of look to our trade partners when it came to, you know, prefabrication and offsite. You know, in the beginning, it was just a few of them. And it kind of was their like secret to delivering certain things until they realized like where they were having the battle I just said. Like people were like, well, we'll just stick build it. And they're like, dang it. No, we need you guys to prefab. And they started opening up their shops and showing people that, hey, this isn't our secret sauce. Our secret sauce is how we treat our people. Our secret sauce is how we, you know, win work and create relationships and do those kinds of things. So let's show people how the shop is. Now, what I think this industry needed, and I'm going to put him on the spot here, is we don't really have a, we have Alex in the VDC world and some others that I know out there, but Ross, you're a newbie. We don't have a lot of planning and schedulers out there pushing the boundaries ahead, my man. And I think that's a unique need. I have a lot of experience in that world. And I can say you're a bit of a unicorn that way. So I'm saying, I think we need a little bit more of you out there. And what would you want, you know, people to hear about, Ross, from your perspective?
Yeah, I appreciate that, Jeff. And absolutely would love to drive some change in my field. Again, I think time in construction has always been a squishy, weird thing to where it's very easy to get caught up in the dollars aspects of projects. And then time is sort of like bolted on, and it's not related to planning, and it's not related to how exactly are we going to build this thing, and what's the right way to work through this, and what are the right levers to pull to deliver at the speed that we need to have the outcome or have build the product for the owner that we want or that they're looking for. And so bringing those together, right? And that's kind of where this all patches together in the digital delivery of that. We don't always have all the information up front. We don't always have all the answers on how exactly we want to build things, but how do we kind of trust each other a little bit more to kind of understand where are those levers that we can pull to where if we need to go a little faster, we know what our options are to do that. If we don't need to go a little faster, but we need to save a little more money for a client, okay, we know what levers we need to pull there. And so being able to, again, collaborate a little bit more and not get caught in this of where it's like, oh, this has to be delivered in 24 months. This has to be delivered in 30 months, and bring time into the conversation of where we bring a little bit more of like the cost in the conversation of where, you know, it seems like we want to get to a number and it's like, okay, yep, go. But we didn't always reconcile the cost of time aspect of that too. What are the reasons for that? And so bring a little more transparency into that. I think there's a lot of CPM as the boogeyman. We got all this float hidden in the schedule and we can pull all these. Like, that's not true, right? You know, we're trying to do the math the best that we can so that we understand the outcome and we understand where our risk is forecasted. If we build a better culture of planning on how we want to construct this project and what are the uniquenesses that we need to understand to do that, that's going to lead to a bunch of more trust, right? There's a lot of like mistrust as it relates to planning and scheduling. And so how do we kind of pair that a little bit and know that, hey, the tool CPM is just a calculator. Like, don't yell at a calculator if it doesn't give you the right answer. Understand what the inputs are that you're getting that answer and what are the right ways that you can change that to have a better outcome.
Yeah. And you said that word quite a few times. And I think it's one of the keys to innovation is focusing on the outcome, not on the way it's always been done, not on the current. And saying, listen, our goals here need to align with our customers. They need to align with our company. And how can we go about it differently to get there? That opens up the world for really good innovation. Because if you're focused on the outcomes, yeah, you're not always going to get it, right? But you're going to move the needle forward each time and learn a few things each time. And ultimately, it probably will lead to the breakthrough that we need. You know, I'm just going to find this magic button. And it's like, no, there is the adage that it takes a really long time to be an overnight success, right? Because you've tried it a million times. You've worked through the process. You've made adjustments. You've made minor changes that finally at the end look like, to the people who weren't watching, a completely new thing. But to you, it's been an iteration. And I really think the two of you together and getting out there and talking about how you guys work together and how you do this. And, you know, I think eventually too, getting open with the tool sets and how those tool sets have worked together and what your bag of tricks looks like is going to be fun. So I am predecessing to a future show or a future on stage somewhere where we can talk about it, because I got to wrap this thing up, because why not wrap it up with our new production planning system and integrated virtual planner, Ross Helleberg, here with us today. Alex, I can't thank you enough for bringing Ross along with you today, man.
Absolutely, man. Always good to bring another partner from McCarthy, great industry evangelist, heading down the same path that we've been heading down for years, along for the ride with us. So always great to have new blood. And Ross, appreciate you for joining, man.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Thanks for the invite, Alex. And same, Jeff. It was great to get to meet you in Denver. Let me know how I can help. Want to change, want the industry to be a good place, want people to trust the construction industry, want to work in the construction industry. So anything I can do to help forward that, I'm always in. So appreciate the time this morning.
All right, Alex, Ross, it's been awesome. Alex, let people know where they can go connect with you, where you can learn more about what you guys are up to.
Sure thing. Well, when we're on the conference circuit, we'll look forward to seeing you all at the industry events as we typically do. But definitely look at some of the industry organizations that we're supporting. I mentioned NIBS earlier, National Institute of Building Sciences, but also we're big advocates of and big supporters of Design Build Institute, DBIA, as well as a Lean Community, LCI. So please look for us at those events. We serve on a number of those committees. I'm a strong believer in what those groups are doing to transform things for the industry. So please check us out there on social media, what we're doing with those groups. They're making some big waves and helping the industry take some big strides forward.
That's awesome. Ross, let people know where they can find out a little bit more about you.
Plus one to everything that Mr. Belcuffer just said. And then again, drop me a note on LinkedIn. Feel free to reach out. Would love to connect with anyone that has any interest of any of the topics and ground that we covered today. But yeah, look forward to chatting with you all out in industry events and as we make the conference circuit.
Sounds good. We'll see you guys on the circuit. And guys, those LinkedIn profiles will be in the show notes, so make sure you check them out and connect with them. Well, and I can speak for the listeners. Welcome to the community, man. It takes a big community to pull this giant industry forward one day at a time. So welcome to the movement and thanks for being here. Thank you for tuning in today to Geek Out for our interview with Alex Belcuffer and Ross Helleberg. To read all our news stories, learn more about our guests, and to listen to this show, visit thecontechcrew.com. This is the Contech Crew signing out. Until next time, enjoy the ride and geek out.